Good morning.
So, I was talking with a couple family members the other day, my sister and my dad, and they have fairly similar likings when it comes to movies, but they had a very different experience with the same movie this summer. And my dad was like, I liked it. And my sister was like, it was a terrible movie. And as they were talking, they were saying something that we've probably all heard, we've probably even all said this. My dad's like, well, I went in thinking it was going to be pretty bad. And so, like, I had really low expectations. So, like, I had fun watching it. And my sister went in saying, well, I heard you say it was pretty good. So I went in thinking it was going to be pretty good, and it was terrible. And we all know this probably about movies. If you're just going in to have a good time, typically, like, the secret sauce is how low are your expectations, right? As long as the thing exceeds your expectations, you're going to be pretty happy with it, right? If you're here at Maywood today and you're trying to get involved with Jesus or you are involved with Jesus, like that simple advice about how to enjoy a movie, like it doesn't relate to how to have a good experience with Jesus. I want to tell you a different story about movies as well. When I was a 17-year-old or so, maybe even younger than that, I started to get into making little movies with my buddies. We had cameras like this. If you look up on the screen, this is before everybody had, like, nice cameras on their phones, you know, so we had these little tiny things, and we'd make these super silly movies, and then when I was 18, 19, 20, I was trying to figure out what to do with my life, and one of the things I was really looking into was, like, maybe getting into film, and I started to take some film classes. And here's what I learned as I was in these film classes. One of my film classes, I don't want to mess with their cords exactly, but one of my film production classes, they literally did like a, before you could check out the equipment, you had to roll up the wiring. Like and they had this little phrase about like, if you're working on a film and you're rolling up wire, here's how you remember how to roll it up. It's you go overhand once and underhand twice. Or no, overhand twice, sorry. And underhand once, I'm saying it wrong. But here's the little phrase that I haven't forgotten, is you're twice overworked and once underpaid, is what they taught you on how to remember how to roll the stuff up if you're working on movies. So twice overworked and once underpaid. And I got in this class, and unlike making movies with all my buddies, I got put into these group projects, and we would make these movies together, and it was like excruciating because I'd have this idea, and then we'd work on it together, and it was not my idea by the time it came out the other side. And what I realized in those classes is my level of creative control is just going to go down from here for the next decade or more, right? Like, even if I, you know, win the lottery in that position and someday get to direct a movie, that's going to be a decade or more away. I'm going to have to grind and grind and grind. And it clicked with me of, like, this is a hobby. Like, I like making little movies with my teenage buddies. I don't like grinding at this for a long time. Like, it's not worth it to me. Some of us have come to Jesus, and maybe we haven't clicked for us yet, but we come to Jesus kind of like I came to film. And we're really just treating it like a hobby. Like, I like it. Whenever it's fun to do, whenever it's easy to do, I'll get involved. I'll do a little project from here or there. If my friends are encouraging me, like, I'm all about it. But once it involves a whole bunch of work and not a lot of encouragement and, like, a grind, it's like, like, I'm out. So here's the phrase we're going to keep coming back to today for this sermon is, are you in this with Jesus to feel good or to be good? Because when you go to a movie, typically, like, we go to a movie just to, like, enjoy it in some level. And so if you're just trying to enjoy something, the secret is just have low expectations, and then you'll like it, you know? If you go into your day thinking, like, it's going to be a hard day, and then it's just an okay day, that night you'll be like, oh, today was better than I expected. But when you care enough about something to be good at it, it's a really different way to go through your day, right? Question at the end of the day isn't, was it easy, or was it more pleasurable than I thought? The question at the end of the day is, like, did I change? Am I closer to who I want to be? Am I closer to who I need to be, right? The passage we're going to read today, it's Jesus still talking to his disciples. These are the guys who really are in it to change. Like, they're following Jesus. These aren't the crowd. This isn't the people that just stick around when it's easy. Like, these are the ones that, like, they don't have it all figured out, but they've sacrificed, and they're trying to be like Jesus, right? So those are the ones Jesus is talking to. And there's been all this stuff about, like, get your relationship right with me, love other people. But now Jesus is going to talk to us about something we're not expecting, probably. If you follow Jesus and you start becoming more and more like Jesus, you're going to run into something you might not expect on the front end. And that's what Jesus is going to talk to us about. So if you've got a Bible, turn to John. We're going to do this. Turn to John chapter 15. We're going to be reading verses 18 through 25. Before we get there, or as you're turning, I want to tell you a couple truths about kind of the beginning verses and the ending verses, because we're really going to zero in on verse 20. But verse 18 and 19, here's a truth as you're flipping to it, and we'll read those verses in a second. But this will give you a heads up as we're about to read. Jesus is going to describe two groups of people, and it's basically those who are of the world and those who belong to Jesus. So we like to divide people by Republican or Democrat or white or black or rich or poor or American and not American or however you like to, in your mind, divvy up people. But Jesus here basically is describing there's two groups. There's the world, people that are against what Jesus is doing, basically. And then there's people who belong to Jesus. Who, like, they say, like, I belong to Jesus. He gets to call the shots. I'm trying to follow him, right? So those are the two types of people. As we read that, I think we need to know that. The thing we need to know for the end, before we get there, I want to tell you is in these final verses, Jesus is going to basically describe a truth that, like, Jesus is such a perfect reflection of God the Father, that the way people respond to Jesus is the way they've responded to God. So when Jesus shows up in a room and everybody likes him, it's like they're accepting God. And when Jesus shows up in a room and people start judging him or persecuting him, it's like they're rejecting God. So like in John chapter 9, when the blind man finally understands who Jesus is and he worships him, he has that like worshipful connection with God the Father as well. Whereas the Pharisees in that same chapter, like they get distanced from God because they're pushing Jesus away, right? So for us to understand what we're about to read, we're going to read it in a big chunk, but I wanted to get those two thoughts to you before we read it so you can understand what Jesus is saying. So verse 18, if you'll read along with me, John chapter 15, Jesus talking here to his disciples, he says, if the world, remember the people that don't belong to Jesus, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. If you start following Jesus and you start becoming more like him, there's going to come a moment where somebody really hates you, really pushes back against you, and at first it's going to strike you as weird. I'm like, wait, I'm doing better than I used to do. Like, I'm actually being considerate of the other person. I'm actually free of some of my hangups. I'm trying to love somebody else. And suddenly I'm getting all this flack and venom from somebody. Verse 20, Jesus says, and this is the one we'll come back to here in a little bit. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Verse 23, we're getting into this reflection of God. He says, whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what was written in their law. They hated me without reason. If you get closer to Jesus, it's likely that you're going to have more people in your circle of life that hate you than do right now. Like, a lot of us didn't come in with that dynamic, right? We think like, oh, if I really start following Jesus better, more people are going to like me, right? I'll be less of a jerk or something, right? But the truth is, if you really start looking like Jesus, people, when you're in a room, it's going to challenge them. And some people are not going to want that challenge. And if you've been following Jesus as kind of a hobby so far, you're thinking like, oh, I'm just going to be around Jesus and it's going to feel good and he's going to make me a little bit better. But what Jesus is telling is like, if you really follow me, you're going to become a reflection of me. So much so that the way people respond to you is going to be an indicator of how they respond to me. Well, we didn't talk about this downstairs in the Sunday school class with Marcus, but that was in that passage. Jesus says when he sends out the 72 disciples, like, if those towns reject the two of you, it's going to be easier for Sodom than it is for that town on judgment. What God's saying there is like those two fishermen or whoever he sent to that town, if that town rejects those two fishermen, it's like they're rejecting Jesus. And that's a big weight to put on the back of those two disciples. Like, literally the way they respond to you, like, that's going to show how they respond to me. Jesus had that much trust in these guys he was sending out. Now, there's some people that don't like me that I think, like, probably are just fine with Jesus, right? Like, I got a long way to go to be that much of a reflection of Jesus. But that's where he's trying to get us to, okay? I want to zero in on verse 20 here. If we go to this next slide, Jesus says, remember what I told you, a servant's not greater than his master. Jesus is referring back to the beginning of the night. If you guys remember in chapter 13, before Jesus gave all this instruction, he washed the disciples' feet. He acted like a servant. He met people's need. He showed them this like really humble love. And in that passage, he said, I am your Lord and master and your teacher. But now that I've done these things, you should do them for each other. And he has that phrase, a servant's not greater than his master. This idea like, as Jesus, if I'll get down on my knees and wash feet, like, you guys have no excuse, right? Like, you should follow my footsteps. Here, if you do the stuff Jesus is talking about in John 13, 14, and 15, you start to become this type of person. And this is one of Jesus' goals for you that I think is like totally off of most of our radar. Jesus wants you to be a reflection of him. And there's some people out there that they're going to reject Jesus. And they're going to persecute Jesus whenever he shows up. And if Jesus shows up through Jerry, they're going to persecute Jerry. And if Jesus shows up through Greg, they're going to persecute Greg, right? If Jesus shows up through Ernie, they're going to persecute Ernie, right? If he shows up through Katie, they're going to persecute her, right? And then there's other people out there that if Jesus shows up in their life, they're going to change. Like, they're going to actually do what Jesus wants them to do. And we see that in the Gospels. Jesus is very divisive. When he shows up, people change to follow him, or they change to push back against him. There's not a lot of like, yeah, I kind of like it, you know. There's not a lot of that with Jesus. Most of us, as we're going through life, we think like, oh, I just hope I'm a little bit less bad. Right? Like, that's kind of our goal for ourselves. Jesus' goal for Jeff is for Jeff to be this type of man that, like, he's bringing Jesus into where he works. He's bringing Jesus into Quick Trip when he's there. And that, like, some people are compelled to obey Jesus because he's been in the room. Like, that's the goal he has for us, right? I mean, this is not exactly what we were shooting for, right? I got a picture for us. There's two types of kind of experiences you can have right here, if you can imagine this. One is, we've all done this on our phones. Like, where are we going to go eat? And you, like, flip through a bunch of stuff with your thumbs, and you're looking at the stars, you're looking at the Google reviews or whatever, and it's all about, like, what's going to be, like, the easiest and best and cheapest, and it's very much like a, oh, that one only has 4.1 stars, right? Like, yeah, you know? right? We're going to go to the 4.7 or whatever. And it's very easy for like a what's going to meet all my needs right now and be good for me. What's going to conform to my desires? And a lot of us view our days as good or bad based off of how much conformed to my desires. How much did everybody around me think I was right? How did everybody around me treat me the way I think I should be treated? Was the weather what I wanted it to be? Right? I mean, like, it's all this, like, did it fit my life? It's a very different experience if you've ever been in another country, and especially this one. Like, you get into a boat on, like, some random river with a guy and be like, will you take me to wherever? Like, once you're on the boat, like, it's an act of trust, right? Like, I mean, you're going wherever that guy goes, right? You're like, I picked you. And that was the end of my free will in this scenario, right? Like, once I got on the boat, I'm just destined to go wherever you go. Following Jesus is much more like the boat ride than it is like the Yelp reviews with your thumb. It's very much a decision at the beginning of the day, like, are you going to get on this boat with Jesus and go where he takes you? It's not so much like, I'm just going to pick the things that are convenient for me to pick. And Jesus will take you, and maybe this isn't a destination we signed up for, Jesus will take you if you stick with him, if you don't jump off the boat, he'll take you to be a reflection of him. He'll take you to where, like, you'll be shocked that some people hate you as much as they do. Like, it'll be surprising to you, right? And then you'll be shocked that some people obey the stuff you're suggesting as much as they do. We probably didn't show up today wanting either of those two options, right? We just kind of want to be generally liked. But Jesus is saying, like, I want you to be me out in the world because they need me. And it's okay that some people are going to reject it. Like, that's for them and Jesus to figure out. Like, we can't figure all that out. But there's some people that need Jesus that are going to be at Quick Trip this week, or they're going to be at Lowe's with Tom, and like they need Jesus to shine through Tom because they're not going to show up in this room, right? So two more slides for you. One, I got to get back to this phrase because I liked it. Hopefully it sticks with you. Like, are you in this life? Are you in even this Sunday or this Monday tomorrow to feel good or to be good? Because you're going to approach your problems very differently if you're looking at it for like a Jesus, I want to be more like you. Because whatever challenges you face, it's an opportunity like to become more like Jesus. Like, he'll stick with you. Even if you messed up in the morning, if you'll come back to him at lunchtime and say, Jesus, I messed up. Can you help me be more like you? He'll start with you right there, right? Final slide for us. Here's something I know about us as a church is like we're not all readers, right? We're not all like, hey, here's a book. It's going to change my life, right? Like, that's not for all of us, right? Some of you like to read books. Some of you don't. I'm going to have some advice for both of you. Here's the reality is when we talk about, are you in it with Jesus even for the hard stuff? Because you want to become more like Jesus. I really like Richard Foster. He's this author. And some of you have been exposed to like Celebration of Discipline. It's this book about like, how do you get close to Jesus? And Richard Foster also wrote this book called Money, Sex, and Power, The Challenge of a Disciplined Life. This was written like back, my guess would be in like the 80s or so. It was written a while ago. But what he's talking about here is we can do all this stuff to try to get close to Jesus. But once you start trying to get close to Jesus, you're going to run into friction with temptations either financially or temptations with regards to sex or temptations with regard to power. Which some of us think like power, like I don't own a bunch of stock or I don't have a business. But the way we talk to other people, we're a lot of times trying to manipulate stuff to get our way. I mean, that's a power dynamic, whether you're talking about sharing toys with my 2 6-year-olds or whether you're talking about buying real estate, right? Like there's a lot of like trying to get our way over somebody else's way. So if you like reading, you could pick up that book, find it. It's real cheap on Amazon if you look it up. If you don't like reading, like, that's okay. Like, let's not try to change that today, right? But what if you went to somebody who you feel like that's a strong Christian, or they're at least a little further than me as a Christian, right? And you said, you know what Jake brought up, money, sex, and power, and here's an area of my life, like I'm not really sure I'm doing it Jesus' way with regard to how I spend my money or how I do my giving. And you just go to another Christian, you say, like, my guess is you have this better figured out than me. What should I do? Like, that's a vulnerable question, right? I mean, that's like stepping in the boat with the guy in the river, right? If you go to another Christian who's 10 years older than you or been following Jesus 5 years more than you or whatever, and you say, here's what I'm currently doing with each paycheck. What should I do? Like, you've jumped into the boat. Like, you have said, like, I'm putting some, it's, we're going to go somewhere now that I said that, right? Or if you say, you go to another guy and you say, like, here's the reality of what's happening with me and the sexual side of my life. And you just get open about it with somebody that you feel like is further than you. What do you think Jesus wants me to do? Or if you go to somebody who's close to you and hears you talk a lot, you say, you hear me talk a lot. Do I use the power that I have in a way that Jesus wants me to? And you just let them respond, right? If the person you're talking to points you to something in the Bible, like that's a really good sign, right? If they don't point you to something in the Bible and you pray about it and you think it's a better idea than whatever you got, like might as well try it out, right? Like try to grow closer to Jesus. And so if you're a book fan, you can read the book and he will give you a whole lot of ideas. But if you're not a book fan, he's given us each other in this room. Look out. Look out. Like it's scary, right? When you look around the room. But the truth is, like, he has given us each other. And, like, unless, like, money, Jesus says, like, you can't serve both God and money. A lot of us act like that's not a true statement. Jesus says, like, don't be fooled. Like, a man's life is not consistent in abundance of possessions, right? Like, getting more stuff's not going to make you good on the inside, right? It's not going to fix your life. A lot of us, Jesus says this stuff, but it hasn't, like, sunk in. The way the Bible presents sex as this like gift from God that's supposed to be wonderful, but it's supposed to happen only within like a fully committed marriage, is very different than just about every other corner of our society and its view on sex. When you get into power, like, we don't talk about power a ton, but like the way America is set up and the way God wants people to use power, like they're pretty different, right? And even away from America, just the way we naturally as humans try to get our way. So we all got room to grow, and God's given us each other. He's given us the Bible. Like, we can use that stuff if we'll open up about it. And we'll say, like, I'm not just in this for when it feels good. Like, I want to become like Jesus. And whether you read the book or whether you get the advice, the final thing you need to do before you go out and try really hard is pray with somebody else and say, like, okay, I have this good idea, or this person gave me this good idea, or Richard Foster said this good thing. And then you go to Mike, you say, like, Mike, will you pray for me? Because this week I'm going to be working on this. Or you come to small group and you ask your small group to be praying for you about it. Because at the end of the day, like, we need the Holy Spirit's help, right? Like, we're not going to become like Jesus just by trying hard or just by reading good books, right? We're going to become like Jesus when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us. Right, and the same Holy Spirit who can heal people from cancer, like, he can heal you from like whatever the hang-up is like today. So I want to pray a blessing over you guys as we're closing out. Let's bow our heads. God, you are our Father. Hallowed be your name. I pray for each one of us in this room that you would show us a step to take so that we can reflect you better. And I pray when we try to obey you, I pray you would transform us, that God, we might be an image of your Son wherever we go this week. It's in your name we pray. Amen.